Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 34 for December 12th, 2014.
From the strangely empty FatPike.com studios here in River West, Wisconsin, we are oddly proud to bring you the Weekly Dose of Fat with your hosts, Sven and Nomez.
Yup. Our show this week is absent on Gomez, but we will persevere and we will sally forth with a somewhat amateurish attempt at this here fine radio program. Of course. Joining us in the studio today is Mr. J.K. Levin.
Hey, yes, the Nomez.
We have Nomez here. We'll probably see him next year. You know, I mean, we are going to take a little holiday break. We'll just start the show off right with that note. But listen throughout the show to learn more about what plans we have for your entertainment during the holiday season.
Our show is brought to you by the surly Pugsley, along with the actor who played Pugsley on The Addams Family, Ken Weatherwax. The surly Pugsley is alive and well. Fear not. Find out more at surlybikes.com. Rest in peace, Ken.
So, JK, what's on the fabulous radio program
this week?
Fab program.
Yeah.
I never did watch that show. I just thought, what, really? Fab?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Absolutely Fabulous. It's a British show.
Oh, yeah. I think
which I don't subscribe to that much.
I ran into that once.
Except for Sherlock sometimes.
Well, on this week's show.
And the Cumberbatch.
The most awesomely British name.
Right. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
Anyway. Aside from that useless banter, what do we have on the show this week?
On this week's show, as always, we have beer.
Hallelujah.
We chat with George Kapitz from Broken Spoke Bike Studios. We talk a little schmack.
Local schmack for you peoples.
Yes. Plus, we got your links right here.
Yeah. Right here. You know what rhymes with here?
Beer!
Someone must have brought beer this week. Was it you or me?
It was me.
Good call.
I was thinking of something, and then it became 4-pack of PBR tall boys.
So. I don't think that's a bad idea. My fallback was to pull out that burnt hickory DeKreuzen I've got left over.
But yes.
Then I thought, well, we'll be swimming around on the floor after that. So, you know, that's what did we drink on Santa Rampage?
This is all.
It was Old Style and Pabst. Like a whole tub full. Kalicki had it on his bullet. Yes. Oh, was awesome. So it's not like we don't know Pabst. Do we love Pabst?
Yes.
In a non-hipster kind of way.
Yes. The functionality of this drink goes miles and miles, and the accessibility of this drink goes equally as far. And, well, it has 63, I believe, on Bar Advocate. Yeah,
or 68.
It was in the 60s. I don't know. It was that circular-looking number that was much lower than whatever, but beer. It is good stuff. Yeah. It's fuel.
You know what I like when I think about Pabst? I think about the nude dude. Remember Mr. Nude America that lived in Milwaukee?
Dick Bacon.
And he worked third shift at Pabst.
Ah, yes.
So Pabst enabled Dick Bacon to become the nude dude.
Ah.
Yeah. Or maybe it was Schlitz. I'm pretty sure it was Pabst.
Yeah, better be.
Better have been Dick. Dick is no longer with us. I apologize. But,
he
passed away.
Local Milwaukee minutia there.
But still related to Pabst, and I'm going to have a swig. And what can you say about Pabst? If you ride a bike, and you probably had a Pabst at some point.
Yes, and it works. 4.74% ABV, they
say. Really? Wow.
Yeah, so it's under that 5.
It's not 3.2 beer, not near beer.
No.
Like they drink out in Colorado or wherever they do that.
I don't know if it's Utah still. Utah used to be.
Speaking of Colorado, somebody sent us some Girl Scout cookies from Colorado. And we've been partaking of the Girl Scout cookie goodness.
Yes.
Just before.
And they think
this fine radio program.
Yes, and I think there's an app for it now.
Really?
To order them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there
is. Apparently.
There is.
Something like that.
My daughter's a Girl Scout.
Well, I mean, an actual.
But.
Well, she, no, that's. Actually, your daughter's an actual. I'm talking about like an actual was. Robot.
Now an automated daughter robot.
Oh, God.
All right.
That devolved. So here's the beers.
Right on.
Clink.
Clink.
Bing. And we'll be right back with George Kappitz.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Hey, this is Dirty from TrumpLater.com. When I'm sitting at home drinking my beers, I listen to Sven and Gomez on Fat Bike Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. We've got George Kappitz on the line from Broken Spoke Bike Studio. George has a couple of shops up in northeastern Wisconsin. And he's been doing fat bikes for just about longer than anybody I know. And as far as I know, sells the most fat bikes in the state of Wisconsin. So, George, welcome to the show.
Hey, Greg. How's it going?
Going well. Understand you're on your way to your second shop there up in Green Bay. That's a newer store, correct?
Yes. Actually, it's our third shop. I just opened this one up in springtime. Spending most of my time up here getting it established and spending the little fat bikes right now up in the Green Bay area.
Super. The Manitowoc store has been around for a while, and I know you do a lot of fat bike business out of that store. How did you get a store that's in a relatively small community like Manitowoc to become the biggest fat bike seller in the state?
It's mainly location. Being on the beachfront, what I think really did it. You know, building up my first fat bike with a Surly, built it with internal NaVinci gearing, and it was great for beach riding. And, you know, my first beach ride kind of sealed it for me, fell in love with it, and from there just kind of shared the love of riding down the beach and kind of going out on that adventure and just seeing different things.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit a good point that to really do well in the fat bike space, especially earlier in the game, you really had to be an active participant. And, you know, a lot of shops try to sell a fat bike, but if somebody isn't an active participant in the lifestyle, it's awful hard to move some bikes out. And I know, you know, besides the beach rides, you're also doing racing and actively building local trails and stuff like that. How did the race season go?
The racing season has been going great. This year we have Shell Track coming up. This will be the third season of the local race that Broken Spoke puts on at Silver Creek Park. Still kind of keeping a fun racing atmosphere. You know, can be competitive, but also adding fun things in like beer shortcuts and, you know, shenanigans here and there. So
right. Fun. Yeah, it's one of the fun ones for sure. You get a lot of participants up there. It's a great event. Up in Green Bay, they run a winter-only trail at the reforestation camp. Have you had some experience on that trail up there?
Yes, I have. I actually rode that 2 days ago. As of right now, it is groomed and rideable. Not much of a pace there, but I'm expecting after this weekend, it's going to be pretty icy and, you know, most of it's going to melt and go away until we get some more snow.
Yeah, it's a little early in the season with that cold snap we had early on. I got all excited about frozen beaches, but I think we have another few weeks to wait for that.
Yeah, I'm looking down the forecast, and next race or event I have coming up is Tuscobia, coming up right at the first of the year. And, you know, I'm not sure how much snow is up there right now, but, you know, looks like we're going to hit a warm spell. I don't know how much of that snow is going to disappear. And I'm just curious to see what that race is going to pan out to be in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it sounds like a good one. What, which length are you doing?
I'm sticking to the 35 mile again. This will be my second, year of, racing it. Just didn't want to step up yet to the 75 or the 150. Very big difference there is you need survival gear to race those. So, you know, you got a pack of bivy sack and stove and food. I'm just not at that point of fat bike racing yet. Someday though.
Yeah, sure. That's a big adventure, definitely. We mentioned that you sell a lot of fat bikes. You know, since you started, there's been a whole bunch of new companies coming out with fat bikes, you know, and sub even $1,000 or right at that $1,000 price point fat bikes. How do you help a prospective fat bike buyer kind of make the right choice?
You know, we have a lot of customers that are coming in that are looking at that $1,000 price point. You know, a lot of them are set with that price, but I would say 50% of them that do come in After we start talking to him a little bit and, you know, showing him the differences between a $1,000 bike and say, $1,800 to $2,000 bike, most of them make the commitment to jump up right away. You know, they just see the benefits right away. And, I would say 90% of the bikes that we send out the door, we're setting up tubeless right now.
What combination of rim and tire do you really like for tubeless? Are there some that are setting up a lot easier for you than others?
Definitely the Surly rims are setting up a lot easier for us. You know, just simply using some Gorilla Tape, making this the seal real nice on the rim, and then just using stands with a sponge valve and setting it up. You know, and we had Global Fat Bike Day over the weekend, and we had a lot of flats out there. We did a lot of bushwhacking, and had a lot of flats, and I would say 100% of them were all guys or girls that had tube fat bikes and not tubeless.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good one of the main benefits, obviously, of tubeless is that it'll seal up tires. We had a local guy that ran a half-inch diameter stick through his tire and finished the ride off and then noticed it was in the tire. It's like, I don't think you would have gotten back if that was a tube. That thing was huge.
That's awesome.
So how did Global Fat Bike Day go? I read in a report that you had 80 people up there for that.
Yeah, we had a guy that won the Derby, Lorenz, I believe his name is, and he won the Derby, and he also did a head count when we were on the beach, and he counted over 80. Incredible turnout. I mean, I didn't think we were going to get quite that big of a turnout. It was pretty awesome. You know, last year's Global Fat Bike Day, same location, we had just under 30 participants. This year, well over 80, and, you know, it's a bigger, even bigger and better plans for next year already evolving.
Yeah, I was up there last year. It's a super event site. It really lends itself well to putting on an event that can scale where you can get more people all the time. So congratulations on a successful one.
It was pretty awesome. We got to showcase a little bit of everything what fat biking is. You know, we hit some stretchy parts of ice, had some folks go down, but no broken bones or anything like that. But rode some beach, got some single track in, some double track. So even just riding through the water too, and it was a great day for it.
How'd those Dillinger 5s work on the ice?
Pretty beautiful. With even a flatter profile on an 80 or 100 millimeter rim, that tire really lays out compared to the Dillinger 4. And, you know, just a few more studs in the Dillinger 5 overall really makes a nice contact catch on the ice.
Are you running the full studded version?
I am. Yep. Yeah. They also changed up the stud design this year to a concave stud design versus just a pointed tip. So a little bit, I can definitely notice some more traction within the stud this year.
Yeah, I've got those ready to put into the tire. Last year, I ran about half the studs that you could possibly run, and I had it felt pretty good. It was kind of like being on gravel. You still had a little bit of slip, but you know, if it got too sketchy, you still had a little bit of traction to pull back on. But we'll see how the season plays out this year for you could, because you can take them out and put them in at will. It's kind of like you can dial in your traction to whatever surface you want to be running that day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's even guys right now, we can buy bags of studs, basically little rivet studs that we're popping in right now, and they come in a longer length. And what we're finding is putting those on the side and running the shorter ones down the center, and that seemed to hook up really well on the ice.
What brand are those longer studs?
You know, I don't even know. One of my guys got it through, you know, basically one of these hardware stores or Fastenal companies.
Oh, cool.
Once we get it all set up, I'll probably put out some sort of report out there, what my buddy called a life hack on studded tires. Coming in pretty cheap, I think, to stud one tire, you're looking at $10.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they last, how they stay in the pocket. And, if it gives people more options, that's a great thing.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Cool. Well, thanks, George. I know you're on your way to work, and appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Greg.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Fat Radio. Fat Radio.
Jumbo USA builds innovative, technically superior bicycles that are race-ready, ride-driven, and tested to withstand the harshest conditions and tackle the toughest and roughest terrain. Learn more about Jumbo's American-made Ursa and coming soon, Ursa Major, at ChumbaUSA.com.
Welcome back to the radio show, everyone.
In preparation for being a little slack-ass over the holidays, here's a blast from the past as we revisit our interview with Sav from Surly.
Welcome to the radio program, dude man.
Hey, Sav.
Hi.
How's it going?
Hi. Are you screwed up?
No, that was fun. He was supposed to say, Buenos dias, Sav, and be all Gomez-like.
Yeah.
So there's that plan right out the window. He's not my puppet.
I'm nobody's puppet.
So, Sav, this weekend, yes. Jim and Tyler Burger in Decorah. Are you ready? Are you ready for that?
Just when you try to cancel something, right? You know? I'm ready. The nice thing about Decorah is that people can always show up and ride whether I want them to or not. Dirt Burger was fun. It was a good time. It rained all last year, and so I just got depressed about it. And it rained like 9 inches in 3 days, and so we basically sat up there and got wet. But this year I decided not to do it. And Jim and Tyler from Surly said, we're coming down anyway. So I said, yeah, all right. But that means camping, and they may even bring fat bicycles.
There you go.
Is it wet underneath the bridge, or is it campable under there?
We've stopped going underneath the bridge for two reasons. Number one, last year it was a part of the river, and as much as I hate my friends, I would hate to see them die, at least on my watch. And number two, the man shows up under the river sometimes and says, do you got a permit for that giant fire?
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, I am part of the Decorah Volunteer Fire Department. I can have a fire wherever I want.
You know, you'd think that you could say that and it would be cool, but, when it comes out a little slurry, it doesn't work as well.
So you get to...
This fire, this fine. No problems here, Chief.
Well, we know that Surly makes a bunch of different fatties. What are you rocking right now that is making you happy in the fat world?
I am riding, I'm lucky to be riding one of the ice cream trucks, and it's pretty cool. I actually haven't had it that long, only a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we had to pry the one you guys lent us out of Colin's hands. He very, very begrudgingly gave it up.
We've packed it into 16 separate cartons and I'm sending it back to you.
Don't you do everything with a certain amount of begrudgment? Begrudgosity?
You should see the guy in the brewery, completely naked except for a loincloth, brewing beer.
I should see that? I've seen it in my dreams, let's put it that way.
Oh, boy. Well, so tell us about the ice cream truck.
It's a lot of fun. Surly, as you know, we didn't invent the fat bike. We invented the fight. We didn't invent the fat bike. Some other people did that. We actually invented the bicycle. Which not many people know about.
Well, thanks for that, because a lot of people enjoy bikes.
You're welcome. Yeah. But, I've been around for the whole thing, from Pugly to Moonlander to now Ice Cream Truck. And I was one of those guys. No, I'm one of the old guys at Surly, and I don't like change, and I like things like the way they are. I think everyone should still be riding a one-by-one with cantilever brakes, I'm that guy. We got some guys now that ride way better than we do, in the sense that they can launch off of things and get, I think the kids call it rad.
There you go. I've seen
my,
Andy get
my
rad.
Radness has waned decades ago, but so they design all this stuff with sort of modern geometry, and it's at first we make fun of them ruthlessly, and then the bike shows up and we're like, damn, that thing is awesome. So, I don't know, the ice cream truck is one of those, it's a lot like the Krampus, a lot like the Instigator, in the sense that, you point it downhill and it feels like, I feel like I know what I'm doing now, which has taken a long time to get to, and, that's something. It is a different beast entirely than Moonlander, Pugly, all that sort of stuff. It doesn't mean that those aren't awesome, because we'll still be selling those.
You can still get one.
Well, you can still get one. But it's a whole different kind of fun. It is a trail bike as opposed to a snow bike, which we sort of never called the Moonlander Pugly anyway. But I don't know, man. It's a different beast, and I love it.
So this series is kind of about how inside industry guys set up their bikes. So you're probably riding a pretty early prototype. Can I ask you, like, what did you throw on there for a drivetrain?
There's a couple of things that, you're kind of limited to, this is what you got to pick. Our crank, obviously, is the one that fits in it, since mm-hmm. it's the internal press-in bottom bracket, and then it works with the Moonlander spindle length style crank. So it's an OD crank on there. And then if you're going to use the through-axle stuff, you do have to use the Shimano direct mount 10-speed through axle compliance rear derailleur. So it's an SLX that's on there. But it does have that little switch. I'm looking at it right now, and it goes on and off. And I love that.
Is that the clutch?
Little shadow thing.
The shadow,
little,
yeah.
Clutchy whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm totally down with all the terminology. So it's a 10-speed with two up front and then an XT, high mount direct front derailleur, your standard SLX shift Rs, and then some Haze brakes. What the hell are they? I'm gonna stand up.
Did you just let out air, son?
Stroker trail. Yeah, they stopped me.
Cool. And do you run the Bud and Lou on there?
I'm actually running the Big Fat Larry's right now, just as a sort of, how is this? The Bud and Lou, obviously, traction action, but
and
I just
massage
wanted to like to just with a little lighter weight set of meats on there. And it's fun both ways. I mean, obviously, you know, it's sort of the same as on a Moonlander where, the traction you get from the Bud and Lou is remarkably weird. Yeah. And fun. And then, the Big Fat Larry's just a little bit lighter, and I want to just kind of see how that thing goes on our trails, and go it does.
Sounds good.
Well, it sounds you're really close to a stock build on that sucker.
And it really is. I mean, it's, it's the through-axle hubs, the Salsa hubs, and all that sort of stuff, which, again, hey, stop, we want to learn how to run all this stuff. okay. but it is, it's pretty stock Salsa stem and bar and all that stuff. I did indulge in a dropper post for the first time in my life, which is hilarious.
Badass.
Is that a reverb?
I went with the X-Fusimon, which is, it's actually pretty cool. You know, it goes up, goes down.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
I've only had it a couple of days, so I cannot comment on its awesomeness other than it's set up pretty easy.
Very good. Well, that's good information about the bike. Maybe I can check that out at Saddle Drive, because I'm actually going to be out there for that fantastic event in Utah. Are you going to be there with this particular bike?
Nobody, they don't let me go to Utah unless it's wintertime anymore for some reason. I was out there for the Fat Bike Summit last winter, and I lost the straw, didn't draw the straw to go out this summer. So
cool. Well, I do get over to Decorah now and again, so hopefully I can get a look at it.
We do have the nice thing about the prototype process too is that you sort of get to pick your color, and mine is kind of a barfy green. But the good point is that I had a pack of old Instigator stickers, like the giant Surly logo and all that stuff from way back in the day. So I put those on there, and I think it looks fetching, personally.
Oh man. Well, you're going to have to send us a little snapshot. Get out that flip phone and take a picture for us.
Cool.
Wait, that got gross, didn't it?
It's all right. We can take it. So, thanks for joining the show there, Sav. It's really good to talk with you.
I've never been happier in my life to talk for any length of time.
And it's even was a totally G-rated performance, which surprised me.
I know.
Well, I'm hanging around with a six-year-old these days. And he did write a story, though, I can tell you, about about Poop Man and the big penis. So
right on.
I'll print that out later and send it to you.
Make sure the Facebook hears about it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
That's a proud moment on the second to the eve of Dad's Day.
All right, man. Well, thanks for talking to us.
All right, arrivederci,
guys.
Bye.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Fat Radio.
Hi, this is Joe from Graham Cycles. And when I'm down in my workshop building custom fat bikes, I'm listening to Fat Bike Radio with Spenny Gomez.
This is your weekly dose of fat.
And we're back!
Yeah, we are. We didn't. Did we ever go anywhere? Oh, to the listeners, we went somewhere. Yeah. But to you and me, I was just standing in the same spot. Okay, so we touched on Santa Rampage a little bit earlier. It was one of the bigger events in Milwaukee for group riding throughout the year. There's, you know, probably 500 plus riding around. Huh?
Yeah, the estimates I had heard was in that 500 to 600.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to really gauge it just with the feeder,
right?
Feeder bars.
You know, the thing is, it's gotten so big that they really can't run it as a single event anymore. They have to have feeder bars, and they don't publish a route anymore. It's just like, find your own way there. And what I noticed about it was, besides it being Global Fat Bike Day and us riding fat bikes, and a lot of other people are on fat bikes too.
Yes.
That you were basically seeing Santas everywhere. They may have been in clumps of 5 or 2 or 10. There's some big conglomerations of Santas, but pretty much for that whole day when we rode around, I was seeing Santas everywhere.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool because the whole idea of this ride is to bring awareness that people do ride all year long. Yes. And, you know, it's been going on for, this is the 14th year, so it's been doing its job for a long time. And I love participating.
It was just a great time. And as you were saying, I mean, you guys had gone, did a quick right turn on me, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to stay with the parade route.
That'll happen.
Oh, yeah. I know. I just know that also that I don't immediately jump like a lemming quick at times.
Well, then you didn't crash either like Tony did when he was riding the 24. We had the River West 24 race bike out there this weekend.
Yeah.
Tony took a little spill. Hope you're all right, bro.
Yeah, there was a swap up.
I almost ran over him, but fortunately, I was.
There was a swap up where I was on the rolling fat burger, and that's when I took the parade route.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, where are you guys?
Oh,
when
yeah,
we got went, to yeah, Great Lakes, we and it was like, hello. I'm like, oh, well, this happened, and this. I'm like, really? Oh, yeah. We just ran into Kenny, and that was it. We got over here.
Well, the cool thing about Santa Rampage this year was that it did coincide with Global Fat Bike Day. And, you know, there always are a lot of fat bikes. Yeah, it was. But it was kind of hard to get them all together since they were, hither and yon.
Yeah.
You know? And to top it off, it was also a full moon. So there was a full moon, you know, fat bike ride. It wasn't on the beach because we didn't get down there. But there was even a full moon. That's like three things.
Yes.
It's the Trinity.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, you know, we've got more Global Fat Bike Day coverage coming up on the site. I got some people that are putting in reports from wherever they did their thing. If you have a report from your local one, send it in. I mean, these are getting really well attended. I know for a fact that the guys up north in Manitowoc had 80 people out there.
Oh, nice.
And I saw from the Southern Kettles here in Wisconsin, I saw another one that had, I think, 79 people. They may have been one slacker short, maybe. But other than that, all these areas, Des Moines and Twin Cities and you know, there's a lot of people attending these events now. Fat bikes are, I don't think they're a fad anymore.
No. Somebody, associate of associate.
Gary Fisher said.
It came through that way as going, give it a year.
Yeah.
It's just a phase. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so, brother.
I'm going to find that. I got to try and find that bit. Well, we have the video online on our YouTube channel with Gary Fisher saying how great fat bikes are. And in the thing, he goes, they're going to be 30% of the mountain bike market. Now, I've heard him say 20 before, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but still, 20 to 30% of the mountain bike market.
Hey,
that's humongous.
Yeah.
So we're in the right place at the right time. And you don't have a fat bike, probably get one. Got some links here too. We got some links on the deal. You should just check them out. These are always interesting stories about fat biking stuff, including always our friend Bruce. I was thinking that guy almost like posts as often as we do.
Yeah.
What does that say about us though? Hey, Bruce, right on.
Yes, Bruce. Thanks again to Surly for sponsoring the radio portion of today's broadcast. Surly makes steel bikes and wool clothing for everyday people like you and me. Well, learn more at surlybikes.com.
I just took my two pairs of Surly pants, my Surly jeans, into the local Korean dry cleaner for some alteration because, at least in my large waist size, they only make them in like 36-inch. And I'm not that well endowed in the leg length department. So I took them over there, but I love those pants. And I've been cuffing them for months, but now they're starting to wear off on the bottom of the cuff. So I thought, well, we'll just hem them up, and then I'll get another bit of wear out of them before nice. They start fraying. And I look like Zito.
Yeah, well.
All right. Well, join us next week when we talk to Lance from 11-9. These guys do a great job with kind of forward thinking and are kind of taking an all-mountain approach to fat biking. And he has something with peaches. I don't know if it's going to come in the mail quick enough, but but we'll see. It might not have been peaches, but it was at least a fruit of some type.
Not apricots?
No, it was not apricots.
Oh. See, I was able to shoehorn it in right at the buzzer.
Took you right up almost to the end. So we will be back next week with one more show before we go on holiday. But fear not, faithful listener. We will be bringing you a couple of special shows featuring some of our favorite interviews and possibly some outtakes from past shows that we chose not to let you listen to.
It's the blooper reel type thing. Yeah, everybody likes
it. It might not even be foul-mouthed, mostly.
Yeah, yeah. It's just kind of like the the audio version of falling on your face in the middle of the yard type thing.
Right on. Well, I look forward to that myself because I'm going to have to call through the archives to make the show happen, so I'll just get to listen to all that stuff again. So, we'll see y'all next week.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.